Hello, and welcome to the audio edition of Beastly Business, the first in a series of animal behavior, human-animal bond mysteries, written and read by Myrna Milani. Chapter 26. Once again, the feeling that I'd rather be shot than torn apart by a dog overwhelmed me, a feeling that intensified tremendously when canine jaws clamped my leg as I tried to climb out the window. I screamed and froze. "Don't move, and I won't let him hurt you," the familiar voice ordered, a grossly belated sentiment considering the searing pain already shooting up my leg. When I give him the release command, "Get down off that table. If you don't, I'll tell him to attack." The words rang out with such calmness I knew I had no choice but to do as ordered. I nodded, heard the release command, felt the jaws clenching my calf thankfully relax, and gingerly lowered myself to the floor. "Turn around." I turned as directed and faced Pamela Winthrop and the grinning Golden now sitting obediently at her side. They looked so perfect, like a centerfold in an upscale kennel club review. It seemed impossible that any connection existed between them and my throbbing leg. "You know, don't you?" Pamela challenged me. I raised my hand to tug on some curls in an effort to collect my thoughts and alleviate some of the tension in my body. Instantly, Jason lunged, grabbed my arm, and slammed me back against the table. "Jace, release." The dog released me and trotted to his owner's side. "You must be very careful what you do with your hands around Jason," Dr. Upton. Her slender fingers stroked the retriever's head distractedly. "Now, do you know or don't you?" "If you mean, do I know Jason killed Monica? Yes, I guess I do." I desperately wanted to rub my aching arm as I pronounced the damning words, but I remained frozen, lest I set the dog off again. "I just don't understand why he did it." "He didn't do it." Pamela's brittle laugh echoed hollowly in the almost empty room. "I did it."
"You?"
I desperately wanted to believe the dog was innocent for my own sake, but he didn't wash with the evidence. "He's a machine. He does what I tell him to." The young woman pondered that remark for a while, then added, "Most of the time." "You want to tell me about it?" I offered hesitantly, knowing any show of strength probably would infuriate her as much as her dog. She looked first at Jason and then at me. "Yes, I think I do." She flipped a wayward lock of hair casually off her face with a smile. "I'll tell you everything, and then I'll have Jace kill you. How's that?" I felt disinclined to agree with that particular plan in its entirety, but she didn't seem to notice my lack of response as she gestured toward the staircase behind her. "Let's go upstairs where we'll be more comfortable," she suggested pleasantly. I limped to the stairs and then scrambled up them as rapidly as my aching leg allowed, spurred on by the periodic pressure of Jason's nose on the back of my thigh. When we reached the top, Pamela pointed to the left, and I obediently limped down a long hallway to a living room overlooking the lake. Once there, she indicated a rigid, wing-back chair next to an unattractive glazed-tile fireplace. As soon as I sat down, an almost subliminal set of hand signals from her caused Jason to position himself directly in front of me. "There, this is better, don't you think?" Pamela smiled broadly as she fixed herself a drink. Then she settled into a much more comfortable, overstuffed chair opposite me. "Where shall I begin?" she asked, as she carefully smoothed her white linen skirt over her knees. "There really isn't any beginning, you know. It all just sort of happened." "You mean it was an accident?" I suggested, seeing this as one possible ray of light on an otherwise very black horizon. "Yes and no. She intermittently tapped the emerald green piping that edged the pale yellow arm of her chair. It was an accident that Jason killed Monica, but it wasn't an accident that Hal started cheating on me. I donned my most submissive, befuddled matron look rather than risk upsetting her by telling her I had no idea what she was talking about. Hal was having an affair with Monica Sonko. The erratic motion of Pamela's fingers belied the calmness in her voice. He swore he wasn't, but I knew it had happened from the beginning. One day he'd get tired of me and want one of them. She glowered fiercely at me. One of those classy girls like the ones he grew up with. Monica? I couldn't completely control my amazement. She liked classical music and books. Pamela presented the supposedly damning evidence with finality. Besides, she was always so polite and agreeable. She laughed bitterly and dug her glossy nails into the plump arms of her chair with such force I involuntarily cringed. Jason curled his lip and growled softly. I froze. Lighten up, Jace. Pamela grinned apologetically at me and folded her shapely legs beneath her. That's his problem. He gets carried away sometimes, and then he won't listen. She chuckled and sipped her drink for a while before she noticed me again. I'm not being very organized about this, am I? She asked almost gaily. Al said that's my problem. I'm too spontaneous. He says I need to think more. She laughed, and I had to admit that the idea of Hal Winthrop telling anyone they needed to think more did possess a certain comic element. How about I confess everything in chronological order so I don't forget anything? She then volunteered helpfully. That all right with you? I nodded dumbly. Whatever she proposed, it couldn't be any worse than being ripped to shreds by her dog. A couple months ago, I stopped in to see Hal at work. Pamela commenced her recitation in a crisp voice, so unlike her previous one, it momentarily unnerved me. He and his father were in one of the conference rooms, and I overheard them talking about finding Monica a place to rent on Somerset Lake. My lake. I'd been expecting something like this from the beginning, but I wasn't just going to lie down and take it. You know what I mean? Yet again I supplied the expected nod of concurrence, and Pamela Winthrop resumed. It was bad enough Hal's father planned to demote him during the reorganization. His own father, for God's sake. Her voice became shrill and agitated, and Jason began to shift uneasily in front of me. You don't screw over your own family, do you? She looked at me for confirmation of this fact, which I supplied by nodding my head very slowly, in a deliberate attempt not to contribute to either the dog's or his owner's growing tension. Hal hired a trainer right after we got Jason. Did you know that? Pamela switched topics so fast I struggled to grasp this new thread. That's when I got interested in Schutzhund. But Jason, me, and I, we don't have the right temperament. She looked at her dog with a combination of pride and contempt, while I fought the self-destructive urge to give a vigorous nod of agreement following that highly accurate evaluation. He's pretty good at basic obedience, and we tried tracking for a while, but we both got bored with that pretty quick. The perfect pink nails began plucking the green trim on the yellow chair again. We liked the protection phase much better. Her fingers froze, and she grinned lopsidedly at her dog. Problem is, he sort of goes off half-cocked when he gets confused. Once again, she looked at me for confirmation. Unfortunately, I felt somewhat half-cocked and confused myself by then, and I hesitated. However, as soon as I noticed the equally confused look in Jason's eyes, I gave the expected response, in case not doing so would cause him to go off half-cocked in my direction. I'm sure you already guessed I did the preliminary training with that old dressmaker's dummy. The killer dog trainer admired her ring, then yawned and uncurled her slender legs. Then I taught him to attack me. What? The exclamation shot out before I could stop it. Pamela clearly enjoyed my dramatic response, But the sudden outburst brought Jason's snarling face within millimeters of mine in an instant. "Jace, down!" Fortunately, the dog obeyed the command immediately, and his mistress chattered on while I endeavored to slow my racing heart. I could hardly ask someone else to help, could I? The young woman appealed to me in a reasonable tone that I found exceedingly unreasonable under the circumstances. Looking back, though, I think it confused him to attack me like that. I don't think he ever really understood what was going on. "You deliberately trained him to kill Monica?" I articulated the question without inflection as I observed Jason out of the corner of my eye. "No, never." Pamela vehemently denied that supposition. "I just trained him to attack because I got a rush out of knowing I could make him do it and then stop him with a word. It made me feel more in control." She examined her ring again. "You'd know what that meant if your husband's poor excuse for a family only half-jokingly referred to you as his poor dumb mistake." Her lower lip quivered, and she bit it self-consciously as she reached for her drink again. Although I found the idea of sympathizing with someone who intended to kill me bizarre, I could understand the obviously intelligent young woman's feelings of frustration and impotence in such an environment. It all came to a head when I saw Monica at that cottage. Pamela suddenly put down her drink and resumed her narrative. "Hal had promised to leave work early and meet me here for dinner around 6. Instead, he called way after that and said he couldn't make it because there was some problem with a goat. A damn goat, for God's sake." She started to tug on the trim again, but then noticed the gray smudge her nervous fidgeting had made on the pale yellow fabric. She tried to rub it out instead. I sat here watching the lake, waiting for him. The constantly moving hands momentarily became very still. Hours later, I heard a lot of noise coming from Monica's. It was dark by then, but I could see and hear enough to know she was with a man and that dog of hers playing in the yard. Things finally quieted down, and then Hal showed up about an hour later. I unthinkingly shifted my weight while I debated whether to tell Pamela that what she heard was the commotion that ensued when Jeff Weintraub unloaded the goat. But then Jason's ears went back, and when I tried to verbally placate him, he growled. "Forget it," Pamela advised me casually, carefully crossing her trim ankles. "He doesn't do happy when he's in this mode. That's what happened at Monica's." I risked shooting my hostess another questioning look, which luckily stimulated her to keep talking. The next morning, Hal made some lame excuse about having to go back to the lab, but I knew he was going to see Monica. For a while, I read the report he'd brought me, so I could explain it to him like I did all the others. But that only made me madder. All that time I spent trying to make him look smart, while his family treated me like some dumb New Hampshire hick, and he let them. Just because my family didn't, she practically howled the proper contraction, have money. She gestured irritably toward the fireplace behind me. I got so mad, I burned the damn thing. I resisted the urge to look over my shoulder for fragments of the missing report. Instead, I kept my eyes on the young woman, who resumed speaking again almost immediately. By then it was almost noon, and I took Jace and went to Monica's to confront the two of them. She glared at me self-righteously. You should have seen the look on her face when I showed up. She looked like that because she just told me she was having an intimate relationship with her dog. I risked telling the truth I had vowed never to verbalize in hopes of derailing Pamela Winthrop's plan to kill me.
No way!
His owner's shouted exclamation embodied such a combination of shock, revulsion, and anger that it caused the jumpy retriever to pin me to the chair.
Jace, down!
The dog dropped with enough reluctance to thoroughly convince me not to come up with any more schemes, not to get myself killed, that could get me killed.
You're kidding,
Pamela exclaimed, in a thankfully much softer voice. I shook my head very, very slowly.
She told you that?
The young woman tugged furiously on the slipcover as she glowered at me suspiciously.
That's why she called me, I reported slowly and evenly.
She spent the morning with me, not your husband. She was in love with Jeff Weintraub. Pamela Winthrop's face crumbled as if I'd slapped her, but then her expression immediately hardened. It doesn't matter. She discarded my revelation with an elegant toss of her head. If it wasn't her,
weren't she,
it would have been someone else. She looked at her watch and then at me. We're running out of time. I'm meeting Hal for dinner, she announced, as though she routinely went out to dinner after sicking her dog on someone. I asked Monica to put her dog in the bedroom because he was upsetting Jason. Of course, she couldn't do it, so I had to do it myself. A wave of condescension distorted Pamela Winthrop's features and left no doubt that nothing I or anyone said would ever change her feelings about Monica Sonko. Then I told her I knew all about her and Hal. Of course, she denied it, and that made me so mad I slapped her. She screamed, and that damn pit bull of hers went nuts. The perfect pink nails clawed at the dark green trim on the pale yellow chair with a vengeance. Then she started crying and said she didn't even like Hal. She said she thought he was boring. Pamela gave me a look I can only describe as utterly unforgiving. That's when I told Jace to get her. I squeezed my eyes tightly shut in a futile attempt to block out the image her words evoked. I only wanted him to scare her, but she started screaming again when he knocked her down, and he bit her. The more she screamed, the more that damn dog of hers carried on, and the more Jace went after her. The young woman mechanically described the details of Monica Sonko's final moments. I kept yelling at him to stop, but he wouldn't listen to me until she shut up. By then, it was too late. When I finally opened my eyes and slowly let out my breath, I saw Pamela Winthrop tugging the emerald green trim so frantically I thought she'd rip it off. You see what I mean? She dug her glossy pink nails into the fabric in a futile attempt to still her hands. It was an accident, but it wasn't. I nodded very slowly. The fact that it all made sense in no way lessened the horror of it. Time to get on with it. Pamela Winthrop's voice sounded far away for some reason, but I knew exactly what she meant when she gestured toward the door. You've been listening to an excerpt from Beastly Business, an animal behavior and human-animal bond mystery written by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, books on animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavioral and bond sites, check out my website at mm@mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the book Beastly Business in any form are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music in The Steppes of Central Asia by Alexander Bordin is used with permission of Katova Arts, www.katova.com.